everybody. All right, you can open your Bibles again to Genesis chapter 24. This is the third sermon we have in this chapter. But how about you guys, but I've really enjoyed it. So go ahead, if you will. I'm just going to read a couple of verses from here, and we'll kind of get into it a little bit later. So you guys, normally I'm very much when I give sermons, just the way I'm kind of wired, you know, we kind of go verse by verse, and this sermon is actually going to be kind of topical. There's nothing wrong with topical sermons. It's just not the way my brain normally works. That's not the way God wired me. Definitely expository in my preaching, but today's going to be topical. So it's going to be a little different for me. We're going to move around the Bible a little bit. I'm not used to doing that. You guys probably aren't used to that either. But we are still going to talk about servanthood. We're going to kind of get into that a little bit, but just to kind of, so you are kind of prepared. If you guys have your notes there, if you got the notes, you guys can see the verses we're going to go to. I don't want to take a lot of time in between them. I'm just going to kind of keep the things rolling. But today, if you guys will, open your Bibles, Genesis 24 and starting, or Genesis chapter 24 and starting on verse 26. And I'll read there. So if you stand with me and read the Lord's word. Now, of course, just to give some context, this is after he had found Rebecca. He'd found the wife he would bring back for Isaac. And this is what we see the servant, his words next. It says, "Then the man bowed his head and worshipped the Lord and said, 'Blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his steadfast love, his faithfulness towards my master. As for me, the Lord has led me in the way to the house of my master's kinsman.'" Pray. Dear Father, I thank you, Lord, today for your word. I thank you, Father, for this example that we have of this good and faithful servant that we can learn from. Father, I pray that you'll help me to step out of the way, that we'll simply see your truth. I pray that you'll touch the hearts of all of us, that we'll apply these truths to our own lives, that we can serve you with all that we have. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, you may be seated. So we see here in this short verse, we see this is the response that the servant has when he finds Rebecca, who is going to be, he's going to take back as the wife. You guys, a little bit of catch you kind of up where this is your first Sunday, or just to kind of get you on the same page. The first sermon we heard of in chapter 24 was about making these non-negotiables. So it sort of led us as servants. We make these non-negotiables. Here's things that are going to be true about every decision I make. When I walk through life as a servant, we have these non-negotiables that we set. Now, of course, these non-negotiables should come from Scripture. So if you sort of see it that way, our Master God, through His Word, has given us what these non-negotiables are, and that's what Abraham did. Abraham sort of listed these things to a servant. He's going to send him out. Here's the things that need to be true, and that's exactly as servants what we do. We should have these non-negotiables that sort of guide us through our life. Here's things that are going to be true about everything I do, and this is going to be the guiding principles, if you will. The next thing we saw last week was what the servant did here. He actually applied these things. And what does it look like to be a servant who has these non-negotiables and you're going through life and you're carrying out the instructions from your master? Of course, we can see that definitely relates to us as we live this life in this fallen world. How do we live life as a servant? But then as we sort of look through here, now the cool thing was when I read 24, I knew right away, it's like God just sort of immediately brought me to say, hey, there's three sermons right here, and I sort of knew what the first two were. But the last one sort of came from this observation of the whole chapter. Now, when you break down different chapters and you study, and in your own study, you do the same thing. You sort of take all of it in. What's the overall focus of that chapter? And you start, what's the main character? And then when you see the main character, what are they doing, all the different activities, you start making these observations. Well, the main character in chapter 24 is the servant. Here's the interesting thing about that is none of it is about the servant. The whole entire chapter, the main character, the character who is present during all these different activities, all these different scenes, is this servant, but none of his activities is about the servant. It's always about somebody else, something that's being done for or to or whatever it is. Somebody is always out of the servant and to everyone around him. And here was the most amazing thing is in that entire chapter, you have this main character, the servant, and he is never named in the whole entire chapter. Now, that's important to us, all right? That means something. Like, wow, this is the main character, yet the character is never given a name. Now, if you guys are good Bible students, you know this is probably Eliezer. Now, back in chapter 15, Abraham said, you know, I'm childless. The head servant of my household, Eliezer, is going to be the head of my household. And perhaps that's the same servant here, but I just want to keep in mind that that's probably like 50 years has passed since that time. Certainly could be somebody else. But even if it is Eliezer, even if that is the servant here in chapter 24, that's even more telling because we already have been introduced to the servant. We know who his name is, yet the author still did not give him a name in chapter 24. And that we should absolutely take that to be meaningful in that this author and the servant is very comfortable and understands what that position is between the servant and his master. So what I want to look at today in terms of that, and we see all these sort of unfolding, we want to pay attention to these things that God has given to us through his word, is that we sort of answer this question. We look at this servant, we saw him in action, we saw how he carried out his orders, but now what I want to answer this week is, what are the characteristics of a good and faithful servant? So we look at this servant, we understand just in servanthood, not just this servant, but throughout Scripture, we see this the servanthood or servant being used so many different times. In fact, in the New Testament, we see it's used 161 times that the ESV, if you will, renders it servant. So it's a very important part of being a Christian in our walk is our service to God and our service to each other. So as we sort of studied this servant in action, what I think is really important for us is that we internalize this and say, okay, what does it mean to be a servant? What are the characteristics of being a servant? Now, there's only a couple of points, and that's intentional. We're going to probably move pretty quickly today. If you guys like to be the first one in the buffet line, you might make it today. I don't know, but sometimes I ramble on. But, I mean, here's the reason for that is I didn't want to have a lot of points because we're going to talk about a couple of things, what the Bible says about being a servant. But here's what I want you to do is you take these points and through the week I want you to think about, are these things true about me? That's why there's not going to be too many of them. Because I want us to move pretty quickly, but I want you to be able to have things that you process yourself through this week. Now again, as I said, we're going to move out of Genesis, we're going to move into the New Testament and look at what does the New Testament say about the word service. As I said, there's 161 times the ESV renders the different words servant. There's actually multiple words. The first two words is kind of important to us. The one it used most of the time, I think about 60 times or so, is a word called doulos, and it literally means servant, as in slave, as in not bond servant. It uses that one too, but you are a servant of someone else. The second most popular word that's used there is diakonos, which a lot of you guys know where you get the word deacon or deaconess or a servant, right? So these words and a few others, over and over again, we see in the New Testament 161 times that it refers to this person in our life as Christians as being servants. All right, so what can we learn from that? Well, the first one I think that we learn is in Luke chapter 12. Now, what's taking place in Luke chapter 12, in verse 37, is that Jesus is sort of just talking to his disciples. I think the first point we see for a servant is that they stay woke. Bam, right? You guys thought that was like a new hip term, right? Well, that's not the first one to use it. Jesus used it, talked about staying woke. Luke 12, chapter 37 says this, "Blessed be those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at the table, and he will come and serve them." So he's saying right there, he's talking about blessed is a servant who stays awake. It's talking about being alert. Being a Christian is not anything, there's nothing passive about being a servant for Christ. Amen? That is not a passive role. We are not passively sitting by waiting for the Lord to return. We talked about that last week, but that is absolutely true. It is not. There's nothing passive about being a Christian and being a servant. It is absolutely active. Dennis prayed about the Smith. It wasn't Smith family return. It wasn't me. You guys know Melissa and then sort of and Katie and all them. They went to Oklahoma and came back. While they were coming home, and this is kind of typical, you know, when they come back home, I'm awake. I'm waiting for them to come home. I'm not going to go to sleep and wait for them to come home. I'm awake and I'm intensely waiting for them to come home, right? That's kind of what Jesus is saying is that you stay awake. You're waiting for his return. But what he's talking about is that you are doing something. You're alert. You're not just passively sitting by waiting for his return, but you are actively serving and doing and following the kingdom and building the kingdom and waiting for his return. So we stay woke, if you will, as servants. We are awake, we're alert, and we are busy and active. God gives all of us gifts, and we are to be using those gifts actively with a purpose. We live our life with a purpose, but we do that as we wait for the Lord to return. Amen? All right, we're still moving on. Secondly, a good servant, they see servanthood as a position of honor. Where do we get that? We get that through Mark chapter 10, starting at verse 43. I'll give you a second to move there. Now, what's taking place here is that Jesus is responding. We had James and John made this request. Other gospels say the mom made the request, which is even more embarrassing, but I mean about him sitting at the right and left of Jesus when he's in heaven in his kingdom. In Jesus' response, one of the things he says in 43 is that he, well, actually, you know what, let me just kind of back. I'm going to start in a 42. It says that Jesus called them to him, all of them. He responded to those two, and he called all of them to him. He says, you know that these are, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. 43 says, but it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be a slave to all. What he is saying is this is what you strive for. You look, now this is very much different than what we see the world tells you, but the Bible says if you want to be first, you strive to be a servant, being last. Now this isn't about value. That's the thing I think sometimes can be confusing is when we talk about, the Bible talks about being a servant and being humble and making yourself last. It's not talking about you devalue yourself. And I think that's a lot of times people struggle with that. And sometimes people struggle with depression and all these different things. The Bible and God and God's Word is absolutely not telling you that you devalue yourself as a person, as a creation. Amen? We get that. You are a child of God. You're absolutely valuable. You're so valuable that Jesus died on the cross for you. You're absolutely valuable. But at the same time, while we understand our value, we also strive to be a servant. We strive to be Christ-like in our servanthood to Christ and to others. And the perspective we have of servanthood is that that is a position of honor. If you get the picture of Christ at the last night he was with his disciples, he puts on the garments of a servant and gets down and he washes the disciples' feet. That's a position of honor. Now, outside of that room, that was a position, if you will, of a slave or a servant. But in that room around Christ and in the kingdom and in the church and in the life of a Christian, that's a position of honor. Is that you are serving other people. And that's what this is talking about. And that's what he's saying to them. He's saying, this is not it. They do this. You see that the way that these other rulers, you see the way they handle authority and position. And it's not that way with you. With you, what you do is you strive to be a servant. Which, by the way, talking about being a servant, and if you go back to, what verse is that? If you back up a couple of verses to 41, look at the response of the rest of them, the other 10. So the two disciples, they come to him, they want to serve, like, Lord, I'm going to serve you, but when you are in the kingdom with you, can I be the right or left of you? Here's the response of the rest of the disciples, and when the 10 heard it, they became indignant at James and John. Here's another lesson to be learned from us, for us. Is that in our servanthood, when we see this position of honor, and we are striving to be a servant, if your intention is to be this servant in a way to gain more authority, that is always going to cause conflict. Always. Amen? So this is what it's saying. So it's not even about, I'm going to try to be the best servant. I mean, you want to be the best servant, but not in the sense like, I want to prop myself up in my service to the church. Hey, everybody, look at what I'm doing for God. Hey, everybody, look what I'm doing for the church. Sometimes you see on Facebook, and it's kind of cool, you know, that people are doing these things, but then they, like, tell the whole world, hey, guess what I just did? How awesome I am, right? Well, that's, like, opposite of what this is talking about, right? You do these things, but you're doing it as a servant, not to let the whole world know and have the, you know, your badge of honor is your servanthood. That's what this means. So what else do we see? We also see evidence of a good servanthood in the book of Galatians. This letter that Paul had wrote. So Galatians chapter 1. Now this letter in Galatians, just to give again some quickly sort of give some background. Paul had started this church. He went away and these Judaizers came in and started trying to squash everything Paul was doing and trying to create these problems for him. Then he writes this letter back to Galatians like, hey, what's going on? Like the wheels are falling off. I can't believe this is happening already. That's kind of the whole context of the letter. They're trying to prop, these Judaizers were trying to prop Paul up as Paul's just trying to make a name for himself. That's why he's going around starting all these churches. Here's what Paul replies, what he says in verse 10 in this letter to the Galatian church. He says, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." And I forgot to tell you what to write on your paper. It says they have changed their priorities. Sorry about that. So another component of a servant is that they have changed their priorities, Sarah Jennifer. I could probably feel her glaring at me. Justin, you did that order. So they've changed their priorities. So what we see in Galatians chapter 1, this is what took place. So Paul is telling them, am I now seeking to approve the approval of man or of God? They're seeking the approval of God. What they do is they serve, and we serve as servants to be approved by God. Now, we know that approval may not come till the Lord returns is when we see that approval. But our the point in our priorities is I just want to serve God. I want to please God. Whatever I do in this situation, I want to honor God with the outcome of this situation. That's our priorities. Now, that's not to be confused with I don't care what anybody thinks. Right, as Christians, we're not called to detach ourselves from the world. It's not like this arrogant rebellion that we're saying, I don't really care what the world thinks about me. I'm going to be my own person and, you know, the heck with everybody else. That's not, I mean, we're not driven by what the world thinks, but we're still called, if you're a Christian, we've said this before many times, I have said this so many times, I can't believe you guys want to repeat it. If you're a Christian, you're a missionary. So I mean, that's it. So if you're a Christian, you are a missionary. I'm a little hurt right now, but it's okay, I'm going to get over it. So if you are a Christian, you are a missionary. So that means you're in this world for a reason. So we're here to spread the gospel and tell the truth about what needs to be taking place. It's not this rebellion, sort of arrogance, I'm detached myself, I don't care what you think about me. It's not that, but it is very much so we have these, our priorities are simply different. Our priorities are, how do I honor God in this situation? How does the Lord honor in this situation? Now, when you think down in sort of the granular sort of level of what that looks like, that's absolutely going to mean that you get in these situations and you don't honor yourself. You don't glorify yourself. I don't mean just like you don't honor yourself like, hey, look how good I am. I mean, you maybe get the short end of the stick most of the time. This doesn't work out for you most of the time. Or maybe all the time. I mean, whatever the situation is, you're not going for the win. You're going for whatever honors God, and that may mean that you need to lose out in this situation, but ultimately you're going to honor God in the end, and God's going to be glorified. That may mean that you need to go to this person with grace and love and patience. Maybe that means you go to this person who deserved to have you snap back at them and use harsh words, or hopefully not cuss words, but whatever you said to them in this kind of confrontation, you go back and simply apologize because you don't live that way. You know better. Now, maybe they deserve to have that happen, right? Maybe they deserve the argument. What they sort of agged on and started this, whatever it is. And I'm getting kind of specific, but I'm just saying, like, when you get down these situations, it looks like that in real life. We sort of say these things. What is this? What does it look like when we do these things? It means that you humble yourself in the sight of other people. And that means not just other Christians. You humble yourself in the sight, especially of non-Christians who are doing non-Christian things. But yet you understand, like, I'm here to glorify God. I know they're going to be, they're fallen. I know they struggle. I know they'll, you know, I'm going to let a duck be a duck, right? So to speak. And I'm going to simply understand they're fallen people, and this is how they work and how they think. But my priority is to honor God with everything that I do. Next, I think what is true of when we see all of Scripture, what is true of a good servant is that they find their identity in their service. I get this from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. That says this, "For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake." What we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Now notice it said, as your servants. We proclaim Christ. We don't proclaim ourselves. We don't talk about ourselves and how good we're doing. Again, sort of falls in line with the last one. But this whole point is kind of more focused on, like, are you willing to lose yourself in service for Christ? So in other words, am I able to say all my identity, all my the things I may have coming to me, or all the things I may be entitled to, are you willing to lose yourself in creating this identity that you're a servant? That's your identity. So all of my desires and dreams, and maybe you have plans for your future, I don't know, whatever it is, but when you find your identity in your service, that just absolutely defines everything about you. So, and if you are a servant of Christ, and if you are a good servant, that's what this talks about. Are you willing to lose yourself for the service of Christ? In other letters, Paul says, whether I eat or drink or whatever I do it all for the glory of God. Everything. That word all is the key in that sentence there, right? I do it all for the glory of God. Everything I do is for God's glory. Even things that might seem insignificant, I do all of it for the glory of God. As in Romans when he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, in view of God's mercies, to give yourselves, I just said it wrong, so if you're going to turn to Romans. Hey, we get her to recite something, you get it all wrong? Okay, let me say this, I'm going to say it right. 12:1 says, I appeal for you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. All right, there it is. So you present your bodies as this offering and this sacrifice to God. So your whole entire life is this sacrifice and this offering to God, and that is your spiritual act of worship. So we talk about how different ways that we worship God. We've also talked about how we worship God in our service, and this is what this is talking about. So when you have your identity is built around this service to God, then that's what that's about. It's like, this is who I am. Serving God is who I am, not just something I do, but it actually defines me. And that's that. Then you have this whole entire life, like everything you do is a part of worship. So you find your identity in the service of God. And finally, for the last point, I think we go back to Genesis. Back to Genesis 24. The point here is that you focus on the service and not the results. So you understand how your service is important. You've given everything to Christ. Your identity is in the service. But you also, at the same time, understand that the focus is on the service and not on the results. In 24, verse 8, we see that the servant is talking to Abraham, his master. And Abraham sending him out and very specific instructions. But Abraham says this, but if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be free from this oath of mine, only you must not take my son back there. So when he sent the servant out, when Abraham sent the servant out, his servant out, he said, look, here's what I want you to do. Here's all these things that need to be true. Here's these non-negotiables. Here's what's true about the servant, or about your instructions to the servant. But if you can't find a woman like that, then you're free of this oath. That absolutely should define our service to God. We want to do things for God. We want to accomplish things for God. But our ultimate purpose is to serve God, not to get results. The results are God's job. Amen? Not ours. If I'm serving you with all I have, Lord, if I'm going up and witnessing to this person and I'm telling them everything I know and I'm sharing with them in my heart, you are not the one going to save them, right? In fact, I'm going to tell you now, if you talk a person into salvation, that person probably is not saved, right? I'm not saying they are. I can't look in their heart, but I'm saying if their only reason for the decision is because of what you've told them and not the Holy Spirit, that's really not conversion. God is going to change that person, not us. the service that we do is just simply to serve God, not to get these results. We may be a New Testament, God-honoring church, and we never get any bigger than we are right now, and that is okay. If we see people in this church that are growing spiritually, and our spiritual growth is in terms of the growth we have in our members, that we are growing and going out there and serving the Lord, then praise God. We are a growing church, and we are a God-honoring church. What we are all about personally and as a church, and whether you're in your family or with your friends, should completely be about how do I honor God with my life, not how do I get these results. And that's what we see in this situation here, that Abraham understood that, and he gave the same kind of scenario in that situation with the servant. So that is all I got this morning. I think the points are valid. They're really great points, but I don't want us to move out of 24 without understanding this perspective of this servant. And again, what I hope that you will do this morning and this week is that you will ask yourself, am I a servant of God? I would encourage you to take that word, servant. If you ever follow through like this word study through Scripture and you just take that word and follow it, it is all over Scripture and is absolutely fascinating. In fact, I tried the best I could this week to get through all of them, and I couldn't. There's just so much. It's almost a volume like when you do look up the word love. It's everywhere. It's going to take you a while, right? Well, you look up the word servant, it is everywhere in Scripture. And the important, or the neat thing is that when you see the word servant in terms of a servant, like a slave, is really kind of synonymous with servant, as in a deacon or a servant who serves people. Those words are used so interchangeably in the New Testament, I think, is just absolutely fascinating. So what I hope that you will do, as I've done this past week, is that you'll ask yourself, are you a servant of God? And when you ask yourself that, are you looking for results? Are you looking for instant gratification, like, hey, I served well today, so I should be blessed tomorrow? Or are you simply saying, I'm going to give my whole life to serve you, Lord? Now, maybe my benefit and my reward for my good service is that eternity in heaven with God, and that's okay. Maybe that's, and you satisfy yourself like, that's what I want. I just want to serve the Lord, and I want to serve the Lord because of Christ who died on the cross for me. And if that's all the payment I get, that's enough. Amen? All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for today. I thank you for your word, Lord. And Father, I pray that even in these words where I have failed or I have not said things that you would have me to say, and all these holes, that as we try to serve you and speak your truth with one another, Father, we rely on you to take that truth and help us to apply it in our own lives. So I pray that you do that this week. I pray for everyone here, Lord, that you'll speak to them throughout today and throughout this week. Make them aware, Lord, of areas in their life where they don't serve you completely, as with me. And Father, not only show them areas where they can improve, but Father, that we will see and understand how we can improve. Father, I pray that this church will be a church that serves you with all of our heart. And we serve each other with all of our hearts. And everything is done with the love and honor towards you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you please stand?